We began a study last month called Growing Up. And we're not talking about natural or chronological growth, but we're talking about what kind of growth?
Spiritual.
Talking about spiritual growth in God, growing up into adulthood and our spiritual walk with God. And, you know, in the natural, if you look at it in the natural, you know, there's some men out there that are 40 years old, but on the inside of that 40-year-old body is a little boy crying out. There's some women out there that are 50 years old, but inside that 50-year-old body is a little girl stuck and imprisoned, never having grown up in different areas. And, you know, we can kind of make a comparison spiritually that there are a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians and that have been in the church for many years. They say they've been Christians for many years, but they're still spiritual toddlers. They're still spiritual babies. You know, they may have been in the church for 30 or 40 years, 50 years, some of them, you know. They may have been supposedly a Christian for 25 or 30 years, but still they are spiritual babies. And to them, Christianity is all about me, myself, and I. What can I get from God? What can I get from being a Christian? Can I acquire more materialism and more money and so forth and so on? And prosperity, abundance, is part of the gospel. But that's not the whole gospel. There's instances where we have to suffer for the gospel's sake, right? Dying to self is a big part of being a true follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so Christianity is not all about me, myself, and I. Christianity is about stepping out of ourselves to reach others that are less fortunate than us. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that God is wanting us to grow up spiritually. He does not want us to remain 2 years old in our spiritual walk with Him. He wants us to become 16 and then 20 and then 30 and then 40 and 50 and 60 and 80 in our spiritual walk with Him. He wants us to mature. Amen? How many want to go there? Say it with me today. I want to mature in my walk with Almighty God, with Jesus Christ. Okay, last week we talked about listening to God as a way of growing up spiritually, hearing from God and listening to what God has to say for your life. You know, just as you grow up in a relationship with an earthly friend by listening to him, by listening to her, it's the same way with God. So think about this earthly friend of yours, be it a lady, a man, and how do you grow in that earthly relationship with this person that you know? How do you grow up with them in that earthly relationship? By communication. By just listening to that person. Letting that person open up their heart and their mind to you and just sitting there and listening and processing what that person has to say. And as you listen to what that person has to say, their thoughts and their ways become your thoughts and your ways. You grow in that friendship. In that relationship. And when the time is right, then you open your mouth and you communicate back to that person. And it's the same way with God. Do you want to grow up in your relationship with God? Do you want your friendship with God to mature? Then what do we have to do? Like we do with that earthly friend. Listen, exactly. Listen. Open up your heart to God and say, God, this is what I'm facing. God, this is the question I have. God, this is my dilemma in life. God, this is my trial that I'm going through. This is the persecution I'm facing. This is the confusion I'm in, God. I don't know what to do. I don't know which step to take, which city to move to, what church to be a part of, who to marry. You see what I'm saying? So many different questions that we face. What school to go to? This is, God, what I am facing in my life. And open up your heart to God. And after you open up your heart to God, friend, I guarantee you, now listen to this, that God will respond to your question. And when God responds to your question and He speaks, the question is, are you listening? Are you hearing God? Are you listening to the voice of the Spirit? God is always speaking. Are we listening? Now, listening to God is winning the battle over accomplishing God's will for your life. But how many here want to win the war? Let me say it again. Listening to God is winning the battle over accomplishing God's will for your life. But winning the war on fulfilling God's destiny involves what? Winning the war over accomplishing what God is wanting you to do with your life involves what? It involves more than just listening to God. It involves, we've got to listen to God. He speaks with a still small voice of peace. He speaks through his written word. But after we hear and listen to what God has to say for our lives, there's another major step we need to take beyond just listening. What step is that? Step of faith. And this brother took the words out of my mouth. What did you say?
Obeying.
Obeying. That was you. I'm sorry. Okay, I saw his mouth move, and I thought it was coming out of his mouth. Okay, sorry about that. But yes, exactly. Listening to God and then acting upon what God is telling you to do. So today's message is and doing. Last week's message was listening to God and doing and obeying. So we're going to talk about obedience today, acting upon what God is telling you to do. It's not enough just to hear and listen, right? We've got to hear, listen, and then do what God is telling us individually to do with our lives. Amen? That's winning the war over fulfilling God's destiny and end for your life. You know, if you hear the voice of God, if you listen to God, that's half the puzzle. The other half of the puzzle is doing what? As we just said, it's taking that step of faith and actually doing something with your life. All right. We're going to talk about here for the next few minutes. Obedience is doing God's best for you. Obedience is doing God's best for you. You may have heard God's voice as you listened for it in the past, but the question is today, are you acting upon what God is telling you to do? You may have heard God's voice for your life. You may have listened to God's voice for your life, and maybe God spoke to you 10 minutes ago. Maybe God spoke to you concerning your life an hour ago. Maybe he spoke to you yesterday. Maybe God spoke to you last week or last month. The question remains today, are you going to do what God spoke to you to do with your life? Will you act upon what God is saying to do? Will you obey? Are you obeying? In order to obey God, what does it take on the inside? What kind of a heart attitude does it take to obey God? What kind of a heart attitude is God looking for? What kind of a heart is God looking for? He's looking for what? He's looking for a good attitude. Anybody else? In order to obey God, we've got to do what with ourselves? What kind of a heart do we have to have?
Heart after God.
A heart after God, that's good. We have got to humble ourselves. We have got to have a humble heart before God. We've got to surrender ourselves to God's will for our lives. We've got to say, you know what, God? At one point, I was in control of my own life, doing with my life what I wanted to do. But God, I humble myself. And I give my life into your control. Do with my life what you want to do with it. Speak to me, God, and I will act upon what you're telling me to do. That's a humble heart. See, look at your life like an automobile. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it God? Is it Jesus? Or is it you? If you're in the driver's seat of your life, if you've got the steering wheel of your life, guess what? You're not standing in an attitude of humility before God. That's pride. And the Bible says, the Word of God says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to those who hear and act upon what they hear. He gives grace. He rewards those who obey him. Amen? So we're going to study a Bible character who first disobeyed and then obeyed God. Okay? Jonah the prophet, minor prophet. Jonah chapter 1. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. We got Amos, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Joel, Amos, and then Jonah. All right. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah 1:1, son of Amittai. Verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. So God was commanding Jonah. Now, it's understood in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 that Jonah heard from God, right? He was listening to God. And God said, go to the city of Nineveh and preach repentance to that nation. And in verse 3, guess what Jonah decides to do?
Run.
instead of heeding and acting upon what he heard, he does the opposite. He disobeyed. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He ran in the opposite direction. He went down to Joppa where he found the ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. So Jonah was not walking in humility before God, right? Jonah was walking in pride, doing his own thing, disobeying the voice of God. And because he disobeyed God, there was negative consequences. There was a storm on the seas, and the sailors couldn't figure it out, so they cast a lot, and it fell on Jonah. So guess what happens? They did what with Jonah? They threw him overboard. So negative consequence number one as a result of Jonah's disobedience was what? He got thrown into the ocean. Number two, Jonah 1:17. What did God prepare to swallow Jonah? God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. So negative consequence number two as a result of his disobedience to God was what? Being swallowed by a great whale. And I'm telling you, man, it must have been uncomfortable in the belly of that whale. It must have smelled terribly, right? Like seaweed. He was perspiring. He was probably suffocating at some points. He was like, my goodness, why am I in here? And he probably finally figured out that he disobeyed God. And he finally, in Jonah chapter 2, if you read it, we don't have time today, he decides to humble himself before the Almighty God. And he decides to do the second time what God tells him to do. So I'm here to tell you today, are you in the belly of some type of whale in your life? Do you feel stuck in your life today? Like you just can't go forward in that relationship. You just can't seem to go forward financially. You just can't seem to go forward educationally. You just can't seem to go forward emotionally. You're stuck in that pit of depression, in that cave of depression. You can't experience the joy of the Lord. You just feel stuck in some area of your life. You feel like you're in the belly of some type of whale in your life. So my question to you is this. If you feel like you're stuck in the belly of some type of whale today, have you obeyed what God told you to do? Is it possible that you're stuck in that place today because maybe you did not act upon what God was telling you to do? But guess what? There's good news. We serve the God of a second chance. We serve a God who does not give up on us. Maybe God spoke to you in the past to write that person that letter, to make that phone call, to apply to that school, to go to that church. You know, to step out beyond yourself and reach somebody else in greater need than yourself so that you could come out of that cave of depression. And maybe you did not act upon what God was telling you to do. And so you find yourself stuck today, stuck in the belly of a whale. But God is the God of a second chance, and God still speaks. God wants to speak into your life. He wants to speak into your life starting right now, today, tomorrow, this next week, this next month. But the big clincher is this. When God speaks to you again, will you act upon what God is telling you to do? And if you don't act upon it, you're going to find yourself for the weeks and the months to come still stuck in the belly of that whale. Now, I got a little story to tell you here. A lady, some months ago, was telling me a little story. She said that her daughter was getting married. And she said, Jonathan, my daughter was going to marry this guy and came to the wedding day and all the preparations were made and she had a wedding dress on and they were in the church and in the chapel room and so forth and so on. And she heard the voice of God speaking to her that day saying, don't go through with the marriage. She heard the voice of God. She was listening. She heard God speak to her spirit and say, do not marry this man. Call it off right now, even though you're in the chapel room with the wedding dress on you. She heard the voice of God. Major step in life is marriage, right? But, you know, tying yourself to another person. She heard the voice of God. The preparations were made. The money was spent. People were coming in. She was dressed up. I mean, the wedding was about to happen in just minutes. And instead of heeding and calling it off and taking that courageous step of faith, guess what this woman's daughter did? She married him. Pretty much disobeyed the voice of God. Well, I asked her, I said, well, let me ask you this. How is their marriage today? And she said, Jonathan, they're no longer married. They're divorced. She said he was controlling and abusive towards my daughter. And that's sad, isn't it? The negative repercussion consequence in that situation was that her daughter found herself divorced from this abusive man. She heard the voice of God, she didn't act on it. And it's not always easy to act upon what God is telling you to do. It wasn't easy for that girl. So she didn't do it. And God is going to speak to you some things in life, and it may not be easy. It wasn't easy for Jonah. Why would I want to go to Nineveh, Israel's archenemy, and preach repentance to Nineveh? This is not easy for me. So he disobeyed the voice of God. But because he disobeyed, he found himself in a really tough spot. It may be tough to obey God's voice in your life, but it'd be a whole lot tougher to experience the negative consequences as a result of your disobedience. Let me say it again. The negative consequences as a result of your disobedience are a lot tougher than the tough action of obeying God's voice initially. It's a whole lot tougher to experience the negative that comes out of disobedience. But there was good news in Jonah's life. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, it says in verse 3, he heard the voice again, right? Would you agree? Jonah 3, 1 and 2. He heard God's voice a second time, right? And in Jonah 3, 3, it says, Jonah did what? The key word. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh, and he preached repentance to that nation. He decided to act upon what God told him to do. As a result of his obedience, and it was probably tough to preach to that nation, the entire nation of Nineveh was saved. It was tough, but guess what? There were positive consequences as a result of this act of obedience in Jonah's life, to preach to Nineveh. What were the positive consequences in Jonah's life? Number one, he saved himself from any further wrath from God. And number two, the major positive consequence as a result of Jonah's obedience was what? The nation of Nineveh was saved from God's wrath. They were saved. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that obedience may be tough. God may be speaking something to you. Initially, it may seem tough. But the initial toughness is a whole lot easier than the end result of negative repercussions, right? Resulting from disobedience. So if God is telling you to do something, act on it. And I'm telling you, you will be rewarded by God. Amen? Remember the tsunami that hit Asia back in about December of 2004? How many of you remember that? December of 2004. And just felt in my heart to go to the nation of India, South India, and do some tsunami relief there. And so I put together a team, first half of 2005. Money was raised. The contacts were made. I had a team of four people going out there. All right, myself and three others. The night before we flew out, I got a call from one of my team members, older man. He said, Jonathan, I've had a medical emergency, and the doctor is telling me not to fly to India. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. He and his wife didn't end up coming. I lost half my team within hours. So I was like, God, did I do something wrong? Am I not supposed to go right now? Should I go at a later time? God, what are you wanting me to do concerning this tsunami relief project, this gospel project in South India? And I just had a peace in my spirit, like God was saying, go ahead anyway with the other team member, two of you. And so I followed that peace in my spirit. I acted upon it. We flew out the next morning. It was awesome. We taught in a Bible school. I'm glad we did it because there were positive consequences to that act of obedience. We flew out the next morning. We got to teach in a Bible school in South India. We got to do tsunami relief in a village that never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And the entire village got to hear of Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that good news? Positive consequences as a result of obedience. And friend, I'm here to tell you today, if God did it in my life more than once, God can do it in your life. Amen? So my question to you is this. What is God telling you to do? You know, if you only do what makes sense to your mind, a good thing, you're doing a good thing and not God's best thing for you. If you're doing only what makes sense in your finite mind, You're then doing just a good thing and not a God thing. But God's wanting you to do the best thing with your life, the God thing with your life. In order to do the God thing, the best thing with your life, you've got to act upon what God is telling you to do, even though it doesn't make sense, even though it may initially seem tough to do. You know, it's marriage, for instance. That's, for instance. You know, there may be somebody out there that you're really attracted to, and you're like, man, I just have these feelings of love for this person. I just love this person so much. I want to be with this person. I want to marry this person. But God is saying, no, I want you to marry person B. Because in 10 years down the line, this person that you want to marry is going to walk away from me and make your life miserable. Marry person B. They'll stick with me. It'll be a good marriage. You know, you may be, man, this thing feels good, man. This thing just makes sense to my mind. It's a good, but it's only a good thing, friend. It's not a God thing. Obey what God is telling you to do. You'll have the best consequences if you do what God is telling you to do. You may have two churches that you're deciding to become a member of. Maybe Church A or Church B. And you're like, man, I have such a good feeling when I come out of Church A. God, I want to stay in this church. It's such a feel-good message. I feel so uplifted, so encouraged when I walk out of this church service. And God is saying, no, I want you to go to Church B. Because in 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, Church A is going to become heretical. They're going to walk away from the Bible. God only knows that. God sees eons. He sees years down into our lives. He sees 20, 30, 40, 50 years ahead. God is saying, no, I want you to go to Church B. Because they're going to sit close to the Word. And you'll be saved. It may not always make sense up front, guys. Your mind, your feelings might be telling you up front, man, this is a good thing, man. It just feels right. Don't be ruled by your feelings. Be ruled by the voice of God, by the Word of God. It just feels right. But God is saying, no, even though it feels right and it looks good, don't do it. This is what I want you to do instead. It's my best plan for your life. Son, daughter, you can't see 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, but I can. Just do what I'm telling you to do. And friend, you will save yourself from a lot of misery. Now, we know that father knows best, right? Mother knows best. Okay, listen to this. Brief little story here. A little girl asked her friend if she could go on a picnic with her. Just a minute, I'll go ask my mother. When she came back, the friend told the girl that her mother said she couldn't go. Then the girl said, oh, you probably didn't talk hard enough. Don't let your mother go at that. Go beg her some, and then she'll probably let you go. Oh, no, the friend answered. When my mother says no, she doesn't change her mind. She knows what's best for me, so I'll do what she says. How much Christians should be like that, willing to take what God says, realizing that He knows what's best for us? How many here agree that God knows what's best for you? Amen. Father knows best. Say it with me today. God knows what is best for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. It may not make sense up front, friends. It may seem good up front. Your mind is telling you this is a good thing. Your emotions are telling you, yeah, this feels good. But God is saying, nope, do this instead now. One last story. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram. 2 Kings 5:1. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy, a skin disease. Verse 2. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She says to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. Verse 5, by all means, the king of Aram replied, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. That's a big gift, right? The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me. Verse 8, when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." Verse 11. But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. It just did not make sense to Naaman, right? To go to the Jordan. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. So he did what didn't make sense, what the prophet of God told him to do. Dip 7 times in the Jordan, right? Even though he didn't want to dip in the Jordan. There's other better rivers out there, he said, right? So he dipped 7 times in the Jordan. It didn't make sense. It was a tough act to do. He did it. And in essence, he did what? He did what with the voice of God? He obeyed the voice of God. And it says, after he obeyed the voice of God, his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. He was completely healed. Why was he healed? Because he did what with the voice of God through the prophet Elisha? He heard the voice of God through the prophet Elisha and he obeyed. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan and his flesh was made completely whole, leprosy free. We serve the same God, friends. We serve the same God of Elisha, the same God of Naaman. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the same God who requires the same obedience today. And I assure you, if you obey the voice of God, you will be rewarded, even though it doesn't make sense up front. Even though it's tough to do up front. On the other end, you will be highly blessed. Your emotions will be healed. Your body could be healed. Your finances could be healed. Your relationships will be healed if you just obey and heed the voice of Almighty God. Amen? Is that making sense? Disobedience brings negative what? Consequences. But obedience to God brings blessing, even though it doesn't make sense to your natural mind up front. Amen? Amen.